Good morning. Happy New Year. Glad to see you today. Welcome. Let's pray as we begin our time of worship and begin this new year of worshiping and serving the Lord. Lord, thank you for the opportunity of being here in your presence today and with your power available to us. Lord, we just pray that we would take hold and draw close to you and allow you to fill us with your strength and your power and your glory. May you shine through us so that the world will know that we've been with you, and pray that we'll be able to lead many people to Christ this year through the ministry of our church and our missions throughout the entire world, through the mission boards that we support as a congregation. I ask you to bless this time. May we be filled with you. And thank you, Lord, for each person. Bless them with a great year. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty."
Oh, that you are here on this first Sunday of 2026. I already spoken to guests this morning, so glad to see guests that are with us today. Glad that you're part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're here today.
I'll try to remember.
Our next hymn is a great one to do at the beginning of the year, and really anytime throughout the year as well. 572, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste.
Sing all three stanzas. You can remain seated until we get to the last stanza. And so let's worship the Lord together as we sing this powerful hymn.
Oh,
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. Thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, that as we enter this new year, that we will resolve to do more for you in 2026 than we did in 2025. Father, we ask this morning that you be with those of our church family that are ill. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, for healing if it be your will. If not, give them comfort and bless the family members as they check on them. Now, Father, we ask this morning that you bless our time here together. Be with Joel as he preaches again at the 11 o'clock hour. And Father, as we give to you this morning, give back to you a portion of that you've so graciously and generously given to us. We ask, Father, that you bless the gift and the giver. And may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. For it's in your name that we do pray. Amen.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future.
I ashamed when a fountain of grace is running my way. I know I am yours, and I was made for more. No, I wasn't made to be empty the grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
Thank you, choir, and Ken, Karen, Ann, leading us today on this very first Sunday of the new year of 2026. And we're going to get started on this new year of 2026 in the book of Amos. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to join me there, it's Amos chapter 1, verse 1 is our verse for today. Where I'm headed with this is what I think I'm going to do. I'm never for sure, but this is what I think we're going to do. What I think we're going to do is in 2026, we're going to study some, if not all, of the, at least some, of the minor prophets of the Old Testament. Now, let me just give you a rundown of who these minor prophets are. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And I really am excited about this possibility, about these great prophets and what they had to say. Because what we first have to understand is what did they really try to say? What was God's word through these prophets to his people? What was the original message? And what do we gain from that original message? But then we cannot just leave it there. So these great minor prophets, how did they then speak to God's people 3,000 years ago, 2,800 years ago, 2,500 years ago, 800 years before the Messiah? What was the reasoning? And then how did that spill over and move over into the new covenant? Because ultimately, these minor prophets helped. They didn't just do it on their own, but they helped to form what we now call the gospel. And so it's amazing at how these proclamations made thousands of years ago by normal, regular, day in, day out people, some just simply trying to make a living and have a life, and how God gave them visions to proclaim to God's people And the great meaning that it has for us today. So I've wanted to do a study on the minor prophets for a long time. I can't remember exactly what the years may be, but I've been wanting to do a study of the minor prophets forever. But I never could figure it out. I'm not a thinking outside the box kind of guy. That's not my strength. So getting me to try to figure out how I could do this and think outside the box has just never been my, it's never been my strength. And so the way that I do sermons and sermon series is I have three lists, and I have on this first list just great ideas. What I think would be great ideas. Well, wouldn't it be a great idea to do a sermon series on the prison epistles? Yeah, that'd be good. What about, and so I'll write that down. Wouldn't it be great to do a sermon series on the wisdom literature of the Old Testament? Well, that would be great. And so I write that down. And on that first list, it doesn't get any farther than just me thinking, yeah, that'd be good. And every now and then, going back to that list and going, yeah, that, okay, maybe. Let me pray about that a little bit more. Sometimes things never get off the first list. They just stay on the first list. They never move. The minor prophets have been on the first list for 20 years. Then if it does make it to the second list, now I'm starting to really pray about it. And I'm starting to do some research. How would that work out? What's the timeline? How many Sundays would I need? And so I start kind of putting some action to it. If it makes it to the third list, then it's on. It's going to happen. Now I'm writing. Now I'm putting it together. Now I'm going, here, this is when it's going to do. This is when I'm going to start. This is how long it's going to go. And so, you know, for me, I've always struggled with this particular thought of the minor prophets because I couldn't ever quite figure it out from a practical standpoint. Because in my mind, not being able to think outside the box, I kept thinking, how in the world, if you do 12 minor prophets, that's going to take, oh, I don't know, 10 years? Lord, it'll take me forever to walk through verse by verse with this. And then it's not the same exact subject, but it's the same idea. God's judgment on God's people for their sin and for their indiscretions. Now, that needs to be done. I don't care what generation. This idea that comes from some in the body of Christ today, don't talk about those things because we want to be positive. And oh, that's just, that is absolutely as sad and sinful as you could possibly be. No. We need to hear as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Christian experience lends itself to hearing about God's wrath, God's judgment on our sin and our desperate need for repentance and for His love and for His grace. But it would just seem to me to be hard to do it as a constant, for God only knows how long it would take me to do that. So I finally started thinking a little bit outside the box, and I started thinking, why don't I do some combinations? So like, for example, let's do the book of Amos in January and some in February in 2026. And then let me move into another one of these things. And I'm really excited about another series that I really want to do on obedience. What is this correlation, this combination, this obedience and grace? And how do those two things go together and mesh together? Because you can't have one without the other. You can't just have grace without obedience, and you can't have obedience without grace. And so then we'll do a study like that, and then we'll go back to another one of the minor prophets. So I think that's how we're going to work that for the year of 2026. Our first prophet is Amos. No, Amos is not the first prophet biblically in biblical order. I can read. I don't need you to tell me that I got the wrong order. What I'm talking about in orders, I'm talking about chronological order. So chronologically, Amos is the first. And we can divide the minor prophets into three major groupings. There were the minor prophets that prophesied during the divided monarchy of Judah and Israel before The exile. So 931 to about 585, this is the longest period of the minor prophets, because God gave his people a long time to repent, and they wouldn't. So Amos was the first one of those prophets before the exile. Then there are the prophets that came during the exile of Babylon, roughly from 586 to about 538. And then there were those minor prophets that prophesied after the exile, as the Jews went back into the promised land, 538, and then on. Amos, of course, was the earliest of those prophets. Now, before we start tackling Amos, we need to make a few careful observations that I think are very, very helpful to me. And that is this: the prophets are so misunderstood. And I'm not talking about just the minor prophets, the major prophets too. But the minor prophets specifically can be so misunderstood. Oftentimes we think of these minor prophets as just simply guys who predicted the future. Yes, they did predict the future. They did look at the future of the gospel that was coming. However, they were so much more than just guys that predicted the future. We have this idea of these people being spiritually otherworldly fortune tellers, and that's not at all what the prophets or the minor prophets were. The prophet in the word Hebrew is nabi, and it means this: to call or to proclaim, more than just preaching on a Sunday morning, but to proclaim God's word. And it gives the idea of this person being a servant of the Lord. So the prophet was someone appointed to bring the people of Israel special messages from God. Let me say that again. The prophets, minor prophets, they were ordinary people appointed to bring God's people in Judah and Israel special messages from God. Many, 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 many years ago, and you'll oftentimes hear me say this, when I'm talking about Isaiah or Jeremiah or even some of the old covenant that are not prophets, King David, King Solomon, all right? But especially when it comes to the prophets, the minor and the major prophets, oftentimes you will hear me use this phrase called the mouthpiece of God. When I heard that many, many, many years ago from a preacher, I heard him talk about that Isaiah was the mouthpiece of God, and boy, that hit just like a lightning bolt. It was just went off in my head, and I thought, that's it. That was the image that I needed to understand what they are, what these prophets were supposed to do. They were God's mouthpiece. They proclaimed God's truth to God's people. It's just that simple. Secondly, the prophets were called to speak to Israel. But the term Israel can mean two different things. First of all, it could mean the nation of Israel, the physical descendants of Jacob, the Jews, God's earthly family, the visible covenant community. And oftentimes when the prophets, the minor prophets, are speaking, that's what they're speaking to, the covenant community, the visible covenant community. But Israel could also refer to those who were Israelites inwardly, the invisible covenant community. You know who those people are, right? You're sitting in a sanctuary with a bunch of those people. We are the invisible community. We are those who by faith in Jesus have been adopted into the family. Paul, over and over and over and over again and again and again and again, to the churches of Galatia, to Corinth, to Ephesus, to Philippi, over and over again, the Apostle Paul refers to Israel in this particular sense. We are now Israel. We are adopted into the family. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is the one that all 12 minor prophets pointed to. Now, if you don't get that this morning in early worship, I went too far, but I've been known to go too far. So I went too far this morning in early worship. I said, if you don't get that, you might as well get up right now and just go ahead and leave. And then I said, no, I'll sit down. Because everybody started to get up and leave. No, but it's that important. It's that serious. I grew up in a time when I kind of got the idea that the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was written to give us good life lessons. You know, you read an Old Covenant story, and what's the good life lesson that we take from that that helps us with our job, or it helps us with our relationships, or it helps us with our money, or it helps us with our mission, or whatever the case may be. And then I finally, through great leadership, realized, no. If all you get from these minor prophets is just good life lessons, you miss the whole point. Talking about missing the forest for the trees. I mean, you miss it all. Because these minor prophets, and everything they write, from verse 1-1 to the end of wherever, the oracle that God gave to them, they all point to someone, somewhere. His name is Jesus, and He is our Messiah. And more than 2,000 years later, He has been making disciples from every nation based on those oracles many, many, many years ago. Amos chapter 1, verse 1 says this. This message was given to Amos, a shepherd. He was a shepherd from the town of Tekoa in Judah. So Judah is the southern kingdom. Now he received this message in vision. So God gave this shepherd visions. 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was the king of Judah, and Jeroboam the second was the son of Joash, he was the king of Israel. So you had the divided kingdom. You had the Judah and you had Israel. And so he lived in Judah, but God gave him these visions to go and proclaim God's truth to the northern kingdom of Israel. Amos spent most of his life, he was a shepherd. He was a dresser of sycamore fig trees. So you know what Amos was? He was a farmer. He was just a good old boy. I mean, that's what he was. And we get that here in the South. We get that. More than likely, and I know these things because of my in-depth study of Hebrew, and you haven't done all that, so you don't know these things, but I know these things because of my great theological experience. But my understanding is that Amos drove a 1976 Chevy Silverado single cab, had a gun rack on the back window of his truck, and dipped Copenhagen long cut straight, you know. So, man, he was just a good old boy. This is just a good old farmer, redneck, tree trimmer. And God gave him some visions. And he took those visions and spoke to God's people. And from this small little town, and the town was real near to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. So it was not so far away that in the southern kingdom he couldn't get to the northern. And so that's what he did. He ministered during the reigns of Uzziah of Judah and Jeroboam the second of Israel. It was a great time of success. So this is before the exile. This is God's first attempt to speak to His own people and to say, hey, everybody, wake up. Wake up. You're starting to rely on yourself. You're starting to put your trust in your own wisdom and in your own power. Sin is creeping in and really starting to take over. So God's first word to His people was through the prophet Amos, trying to help them to see truth. You know, sometimes wealth is good and sometimes wealth is bad. Sometimes poverty is good, sometimes poverty is bad. One of the things that we see in the scripture, one of the things that we oftentimes do as the church is we try to paint one as bad and the other as good, and that's not true at all. The scripture gives us every one of those and everything in between. I said this morning in early worship, if you look at scripture, what you'll find in some of the characters of scripture, they had more money, more wealth than everybody in this sanctuary all combined. If we took both worship services, took all of our money, all the money that we have saved, put it all together in one big pile, we wouldn't even sniff at some of the wealth that some in the Bible had. Wealthy beyond what we could even imagine. The opposite is just as true. We can look at scripture and we can find characters that didn't have anything. I mean, they were as broke as a dog's hind leg. They were broke. They were poverty stricken. So the Bible gives us all of that and everything in between. So sometimes wealth is good. Sometimes wealth is bad. Sometimes poverty is good. Sometimes poverty is bad. The problem was that the wealthy Israelites were beginning to put their trust in themselves. God had blessed them with all of this wealth. And instead of saying, God, thank you for this wealth, how can we use this for your honor and for your glory? They started to, I did this. I'm the one that self-reliance. Well, that sounds like that might be a good word to body of Christ in today's world, doesn't it? And so God sent Amos to call the nation to repentance. Success and wealth are not inherently bad. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about success or wealth. However, we do have to realize that more often than not, we are tempted to put our trust in ourselves during good times, more so than in bad times. We're often tempted to exploit whatever power we may have over other people or relatives or employees or friends or whatever the case may be. So right here at the beginning of 2026, what I'm praying is that we will simply say, Lord, this year of 2026, I just trust you. I'm going to trust my life into your hands. I trust you. And I can promise you this. There's not one person in this sanctuary, early or late, not one of us, that something didn't pop up in your brain when I said that. Every single person in this sanctuary has something that they struggle with. Something that they would say, yeah, Lord, I need to trust you with that. All of us. So as I look, and let me tell you something, the preacher is no different. This is as personal to me as it is to anybody in this sanctuary. So as I think about 2026, right here on this very first Sunday of 2026, trying to help us to turn away from self-reliance, putting our trust in the one who provides all that we are and all that we have. So trusting in God the Father can happen only if our heart and our mind and our body and our soul, that is everything that we are inwardly and outwardly, everything that we are and everything that we have is focused on the gospel, the good news about who God is and what He has given to us through His Son, Jesus. So, Amos, at the beginning, Amos says to us, watch out, be careful. We have an advantage over the people that Amos prophesied to. They didn't know if he was right or wrong. We do. We're 100% certain that he was right. So when Amos says to us, be careful. Be careful. Put your trust in the Father. We know it's 100% guaranteed. Father, thank you for that word. Thank you for Amos, the prophet. Normal guy, just a shepherd, farmer. Visions that you gave to him, and then he went and he poured out those visions to God's people. So thank you for that. We look forward to digging in to see exactly what are those visions? What is it? What's the word that you've wanted to speak to your people? And how does that then move us, 21st century American Christians? So thank you for that. Thank you for this day. We think about what it means to put our trust and our faith in God the Father in every aspect of life. So thank you for that word to us today, right here on the beginning Sunday of 2026. In Christ we pray. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ, then what a great day. First day of 2026 to say, I repent of my sin, put my trust and my faith in Jesus the Savior and Lord. If you need to come and pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the simple word, Jesus, Jesus.
Please be seated real quickly before we head out for lunch. All right, so we've got the winter Bible study, which starts this Wednesday night. Mike Reeves will be our first teacher. I think Paul's got six different people lined up to lead one of our winter Bible studies. And so basically, we've got a women's Bible study that goes on, and we've got some men's things that go on. We've got youth up here, children here. So we're scattered on Wednesday nights, which makes Wednesday nights so much fun to have us anywhere and everywhere. But for those who don't have other places to go, encourage you, come, be in here. The winter Bible study last year was excellent. It will be excellent again this year on the Gospel of John. And so we look forward to that starting this coming Wednesday night at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So come, be a part of that. Men's ministry starts back this coming Saturday, January 10, 8 a.m. Elliot Rowe, Michael Brown, others. If you need to have more information about that, call or talk to one of those guys, all right? Speaking of the women's Bible study, Erin Miles will be leading this. It's in P27. She told me a little bit about it this morning after the early worship. It's going to be great. So if you'd like to be a part of that, 6 o'clock, MP27 Sunday School Classroom. Ladies, if you really want more information, all you got to do is get in touch with Erin Miles, and she will give you all the information that you need. That starts this week. All right, Ken?
Yes, on Friday night, January the 16th, I believe it says, at 7 o'clock, right here in the sanctuary, we're going to have a concert. The Pickers are going to open up. Well, the Hoppers, and the Hoppers is a really good group. The choir sings one of their numbers. It's Shouting Time in Heaven. Mm-hmm. We do that periodically, and It's a great song, and they've got a lot of good music. They've got Angela Prim, who has appeared many times on the Gaither programs, and then we've got a comedian. He's actually from Alabama, and we heard him before. Mickey Bell is his name, and so he's going to be here with us on that night. So it's going to be a good night. The cost is $10, and it's going to be at the door, and then we'll take up a love offering, because $10, as you can imagine, won't go very far in supporting what their travel and everything that they do. So we are going to do that that night, so be expecting that to come and be a part of the celebration.
All right, so that's going to be a fun night. Building by Faith, the year end, we had some more gifts that came in, and we always do at the end of the year. So